Hello and welcome to the IRPP's interview with the author series. My guest today is Campbell Sharman. Dr. Sharman is a professor in the Department of Political Science at the University of British Columbia. He's also the author of the recent IRPP study, Political Legitimacy for an Appointed Senate, a Modest Proposal. Welcome, Dr. Sharman.
Hello.
First things first, why is Senate reform necessary?
Well, given the way parliaments operate these days, which means that the government has a majority, or usually anyway, perhaps not at the moment, but in parliamentary systems, usually the government has a majority of seats in the lower house, and this means that it really controls the whole parliamentary process. And the advantage of having an upper house, a second chamber, is that it can scrutinize legislation and ask the government awkward questions. And that's good for the government, I think, and certainly good for the parliamentary process. But if you have an upper house like that, you've got to have an upper house which has the public, or the public believes, has the legitimacy to ask awkward questions and perhaps even check legislation. And the Canadian Senate, it has the powers to do those things, but really, because it's just an appointed body with all the people appointed by the Prime Minister, it's felt that it doesn't have the authority really to check the government. It can always be accused of, well, what are you doing? You are only an appointed body.
Mm-hmm. In your view, why isn't direct election of senators the most desirable route to this kind of reform that you propose?
Well, in my own view, my background is from Australia, and their upper houses are elected, but there's been a long tradition of that in Australia, and in Canada, it's really not accepted as a way of designing an upper house, because it's felt that to have an elected upper house would threaten the role of the lower house and its relationship with the electorate. So that's one reason. I think it's just not part of the Canadian tradition to have strong elected upper house, even though it would give it a lot of legitimacy. But there are practical reasons too, and that is there would be huge resistance to any constitutional change to make the Senate directly elected. It would just alter the balance of it. Great big argument about how the constituencies, how the ridings were going to be divided up, and it would really open up a huge can of worms. So I think there's both a philosophical problem, that is, it's not part of the Canadian governmental parliamentary repertoire to have elected upper houses, never really has been. And secondly, there are enormous practical political problems in ever getting direct election.
So if direct election is too ambitious, then what kind of reform do you propose?
Well, it seems to me what's really important about an upper house is for it to be able to ask, have enough power to ask effective questions, and yet not to be seen as a too overwhelming a threat on the government of the day. And so I would like to see the Senate move in the direction of the British House of Lords, where the Senate has, or the House of Lords has legitimacy because it has a partisan balance, that the government doesn't control the chamber, but on the other hand, it can't be sure, it may get this legislation passed, but it may not. It may be asked awkward questions. And the House of Lords, of course, can't actually veto legislation permanently. It can slow it down, but it can't throw it out. And I think really two solutions are required for effective reform of the Canadian Senate. The first one is that its powers are perhaps reduced, that its power to throw out legislation, to permanently veto legislation, is removed. That would require a constitutional change, but that would be so the government didn't feel too apprehensive about the Senate. And the other characteristic is that it needs to be it needs to be composed of a range of party members and maybe independents, so the government doesn't have an automatic majority. And you can do that through appointment. Again, the House of Lords is one example. Some mixture of partisan appointments by the Prime Minister, and maybe some other way, either to get the Prime Minister to accept that he or she should appoint senators from different partisan persuasions, or there's a commission in Britain in the House of Lords, which the House of Lords Appointment Commission, which asks the public who should be included in the Senate, and some in the House of Lords, and some of those members, after suitable vetting, end up in the House of Lords. But whatever the way it's done, it seems to me the appointment procedure could be modified to generate some kind of partisan balance.
We are in the middle of an election campaign, and Senate reform so far hasn't surfaced as an important issue. Do you think it should be?
I don't think it's ever going to be a hot political issue unless there's a real... I mean, the only time it might be is if a Senate dug in its... I mean, the Senate has enormous powers. It has almost equal powers to the House of Commons. And so if a Senate really did block a government and the government said, OK, we're going to have an election on this issue, Mr. Mulroney got pretty close to doing that at one stage, although he chickened out at the last moment, then it would be a major election issue. But at the moment, in most elections, people are concerned with bread and butter issues or whatever it is. So this is a structural issue, which it seems to me is very important, but it's not likely to be high on the agenda. Now, it's true that Mr. Harper has, and the Conservatives have talked about Senate reform, and it's been on Mr. Harper's issues or list of things he's tried to do, and he's introduced some legislation, but it seems to me it's a second order issue, not really a hot button issue for the electorate, and not likely to be.
Are you optimistic that meaningful Senate reform will be achieved in Canada?
Well, people have been talking about reforming the Senate almost since it was set up in 1867. I think it probably will, but the circumstances require really a number of things. They require the Senate itself to get some kind of bipartisan sense that change is required, and that's not there at the moment. It may be, but it requires a Prime Minister to be persuaded that change is a good idea, and any change is likely to reduce the discretion of the Prime Minister over the Senate, and therefore there has to be some payoff for the Prime Minister to do that. And perhaps there has to be some kind of broad public acceptance that there needs to be a major change. That might be, for example, if there's been a government with a large majority been rampaging over the scenery and offending a large number of people, and people in the community have felt that, look, we need some kind of more effective parliamentary check. But so you need those three things. You need the Senate to be some kind of bipartisan acceptance. You need a Prime Minister and a governing party to accept it's probably necessary. And you need a broad sense in the community that change is required.
Dr. Sharman, thank you very much for your time today.
You're very welcome.
Campbell Sharman is a professor of political science at UBC and the author of the recent IRPP study, Political Legitimacy for an Appointed Senate, A Modest Proposal.
Thank you. Please stand.